Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. I'm Paul Gallant. He is Rich Lord. We are in for Sean and Ted, typically with Rich Lord, up at Twin Peaks and Shenandoah. Hey now, did you know that Sports Radio 610 and CBS Sports Radio 650 are your home for the Houston Dynamo? And the Dynamo are on the road for the first time this year, looking to bounce back from a 2-1 loss to Vancouver when they take on the DC United on Saturday. You can listen to the game at noon on CBS Sports Radio 650, the all-new radio.com app. You can check it out on theCUBE, too. Get the latest Dynamo news and the full broadcast schedule on sportsradio610.com, everybody.
See that weird thing about Clowney that came out earlier today?
No, look, fill me in.
Jadeveon Clowney has 1 year left on his rookie deal. It's the fifth-year option that the Texans exercise that covers the 2018 season. Most believe, I think, that he's going to get a contract extension before the coming season that might make him the highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL.
For a time, definitely possible.
Yeah, definitely possible. Not necessarily going to happen, but there's been some, I think, healthy debate over the merits of handing out that contract now versus letting him play out the option. But either way, it seems like the favorite is he's going to get the long-term deal. So what I'm about to say is really kind of a moot point because of that. But it's worth noting that NFL players that are about to play under that fifth-year option got the number today. And because the system classifies Jadeveon Clowney as an outside linebacker and not a defensive end, he will get paid $1.5 million less than he was scheduled to get. It was something like 13.5, and now it's something like 12, roughly. It's in that ballpark. I find that weird.
A little more cap space for the Houston Texans to work with. They've been so active. They've been so active and aggressive.
Like I said, moot point because he's probably getting the extension, although I think it's at least arguable that you don't give him the extension this offseason.
The intriguing part about that is that Jadeveon Clowney doesn't want to be a defensive end. He wants to be an outside linebacker. He wants to play on the outside. He doesn't like that physicality, but he's better at being a defensive end, and he gets paid more if he was a defensive end.
Yeah.
Think about that a little bit, buddy. Think about it just a little bit. Might help your priorities out a little bit. Might help the guy end up being a better player overall. I think he's fantastic as a defensive end. As a linebacker, he is a wild card and sometimes gets lost in games. So the options available right now, Rich, for the Texans are not like the sexiest names at this point. We talked last night on our little Facebook Live, which you can check out on our Sports Radio 610 Facebook page, about guys like Justin Pugh, a offensive lineman who's been versatile at the New York Giants, or Josh Sitton, who is still available from the Chicago Bears, another Colt player, Jack Muhort. Here's the thing about these offensive linemen. I don't know a damn thing. I just sort of want to bring in an offensive lineman.
Right.
Just bring in more bodies that aren't, you know, Jeff Allen, Xavier Suafilo, because I don't know, those guys aren't good. I feel like that's a priority. Get guys who are good and not bad. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Have they signed their next two starting guards in Zach Fulton and Senio Calometti?
I
think it's entirely possible that those are your starting guards.
I hope not. Who's that last guy?
The kid they signed late yesterday from the Saints, who every Saints fan we've heard from has said has been a valuable member of that O-line rotation.
So that guy's good.
Senio Calometti.
Well, that's good job by you getting the name sounding confident in saying it. Honestly, I don't think I would have been able to get that right off at the top. I hope not. I mean, Zach Fulton, to me, he strikes me as another Greg Manx type. He strikes me as someone who's played a bunch of positions, but never that well.
Right.
And if the Chiefs like the versatility that he brought to the table, fine. All right, if Saints people are happy with what they got out of him, then the other guy, and again, I gotta write it down or something like that. There's no way in hell I'm going to be
able to get
Calometti. Okay, cool. Calamari.
Calamari works.
This calamari guy, I'll tell you what, you fry him, you put some marinara sauce out there, he's good.
Seriously, Paul.
I want to do better.
You and I would do better than Allen and Suafilo did last year at the guard spots. I'm, of course, exaggerating, but they might have been. I mean, I think it was the worst O-line in the NFL last year.
So from people that I have talked to who would know a thing or two about it, yes, quote.
Right.
Yes,
and
the
so
worst.
So it's not a stretch whatsoever, especially when you saw how they kind of Olay'd so often defensive linemen, that was the worst guard combo in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not like Calamity and Fulton could be a whole lot worse.
Jeff Allen's been such a disappointment, and John McClain talked with us yesterday when I was hanging out with Seth on that radio in for Mike, that's a guy that could end up getting released. Okay, great. And I'm almost to the point of, when you have this much cap space, just bring all of these bodies to camp and find some way to actually have some sort of real competition. Because that's been the biggest problem with the offensive line for the last couple of years, is they just keep on bringing out the same guys that they've had for years and years and years. And why am I supposed to believe that over time Kendall Lamb was going to be good? I remember being told that all the time. I was like, wait, why? Why are we so high on Kendall Lamb? I hope David Questenberry actually is able to make something out of his career, but why am I to believe that Questenberry will? Like, the story is fantastic, but now I think Questenberry would want us to be honest about him instead of being like, well, the story's great. No, what is Questenberry actually going to do for you? And then Julien Davenport, like, great.
Yeah.
He's from Bucknell. You know, I want as many bodies as possible right now. I understand that you might not be paying a whole lot of money for these bodies, but just bring in more and more and more and more. I hope that they're not done on this front.
I feel like if they had landed a Nate Solder and we were discussing Calamity and Fulton as possibly the new starting guards, and even what John McClain wrote today, that Chantrell Henderson will compete with Julien Davenport to start at right tackle, I think all of that would be far more acceptable to us if they had solved the riddle at left tackle, which, as we entered the offseason, I still maintain was the biggest and most glaring need that they have completely failed to address to this point and remains a huge question mark moving forward. We're talking about the blindside protector for your first-ever franchise quarterback, presumably for several years to come.
And here's the problem. Other NFL teams have done this, and they've gotten away with it. Like, the Colts, their offensive line has sucked for years.
Seattle,
same thing. Yeah. Like, that is criminal what they do to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is running around in a figure eight behind the line of scrimmage after every single play.
Well, those two teams are the best example of, with a franchise quarterback, all things are possible.
Yes, but at the same time, you can't keep telling yourself that this will be fine. I'm glad that they have invested some capital into the offensive line, but I was nervous going into the offseason that they would look at what Seattle has done.
Yeah.
And it's good that Seattle finished the season the way that they did, because their offense just stopped existing, basically.
Right.
They might have looked at themselves and said, well, Russell Wilson and Deshaun have some similarities. And the other thing is, too, like, until Watson, I get to a point with Watson where I feel comfortable with him being healthy for a 16-game season, I'm going to be very, very nervous when it comes to the guys that are in front of him. And, you know, blindside, right tackle, whatever. He extends plays to the point where he's always going to be a target.
Yeah, I mean, can he make a really bad O-line look serviceable? Yeah, he did that last year. But it's not a good plan moving forward. It's not a long-term plan you want to have. You don't want to be relying on him to bail out substandard O-linemen throughout his career. You're playing with fire, and at some point he is going to take that shot that you're going to regret.
Yeah, and when that happens, what happens then? I mean, look, we've talked about knee injuries, season-ending knee injuries, but, you know, don't rule out the idea of missing a couple of games with a concussion or missing a couple of games with a bruised rib, broken rib, or something like that. Shoulder, collarbone. Like, there are so many other spots that you can get injured when you're a quarterback. Just ask poor Tom Savage, who found a way to injure every single part of his body. Leg, head, chest.
Right.
You know, like, that. It happens. You get banged up in this league. So that's something that they're going to have to be better at. Tight end is a position that they don't have anyone at right now.
No, they don't.
I mean, I'm just going to act like C.J. Fedorowicz is no longer a part of this team.
Well,
going
it's
forward.
Official. He's right. He retired today.
So he's done. You have Ryan Griffin as well. You also have at tight end Steven Anderson, who was bad in the game after his only good game against the Tennessee Titans team that isn't good. Some of the options that are available for them. Tight end Eric Ebron from the Detroit Lions, who had the most unceremonious release from the Lions after being a top 10 pick way back in the day.
Yeah.
Tyler Eifert, who Cody Stutz calls glass, which I believe is akin to calling somebody a...
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Austin, well, because of all the injuries.
Right. Exactly.
Not, it's can't stay on the field.
It's because of the injuries. Now, he clarified in our Facebook Live last night. It was Mr. Glass. Okay. That's I feel the same way about your take there, Cody. But understood. The guy has played less than half the games that he's been able to play in his NFL career.
So you've named two underachievers.
Yes. Austin Seferian-Jenkins. Hey, look, another underachiever that can't block that I doubt would fill the need that the Texans have.
Right.
He's visiting the Seahawks and the Jaguars. Eagles tight end Brent Celek. I forget how to pronounce the last name, but got a nice warm standing ovation at the Sixers game a couple of nights after he'd been released.
But yeah.
Okay. That's a guy who, at tight end, can he block?
That's the biggest question.
That's what O'Brien wants at a tight end.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of us are going to have to temper your expectations down when it comes to the potential available tight ends that they have. O'Brien is going to look for a guy to fill that Fedorowicz void. He wants a guy that can block just as well as he can catch.
Might have to be in the draft.
It might have to be in the draft. You're right. And look, Fedorowicz was a guy that they drafted who, and you feel for him because it took him such a long time to get up to speed. He looked really good this season with Brock Osweiler.
He was a fourth-round pick?
Third-round pick out of Iowa. Looked very good in that season. But then the next year, this past year, I mean, all those concussions that he suffered, you could see why he would walk away.
Yeah.
You could see why he would be done with football forever. So you got to find someone like that. If I'm not mistaken, Dwayne Allen, who was a huge disappointment with the Patriots, is available. And Allen's always been thought of as a guy who is versatile, can block and can catch. Not very good as a catcher.
No.
But as a blocker, that's, I think, what they're going to be looking for, a tight end.
He could be serviceable for the Texans. But, again, that's adding a name to your list of underachievers.
Yes. See, this is the point. This is the part where we're at in free agency. Like there is nothing, I think, outside of a Tyrann Mathieu that it can be done to, I think, make the people who are frustrated with what the Houston Texans have done or have not done enough of at this point.
My expectations were too high. But I, naively thought that when you maneuver financially like they've done for more than a year to set themselves up for 2018 free agency, there would be at least one big splash signing. And there's been some light ripples in terms of the signings and nobody to get really excited about. If Aaron Colvin is the best free agent you sign, and this is nothing against Aaron Colvin, you have failed.
You didn't get Nate Solder. That's why I think they failed. Now, again, it's only been a day.
Right.
There's plenty of time left. We have to say all the positive spin things as well because, again, it's been a day. We can't overreact too much. But Rich and I are on the same page here. This is not optimal. This is not optimal, especially given the guys who are left, whether it's wide receiver who they could use and potentially some extra hands at, or secondary,
This feels like, despite the ongoing March Madness and anything we might discuss regarding the Rockets or the Astros or Tiger Woods, this is the topic. DWIattorney.com text message page always available at 713-572-4610 if you've got thoughts on this, because it really is at the top of the list this week.
I know that you have been opposed to the idea of Dwayne Brown having been appeased with his desires, and I'm not here to knock you for that. I'm just saying, like, now if I'm the Texans, I wish I would have.
I agree.
Yeah.
I even though I put more of the blame for the current situation on Dwayne than I do the Texans, it's obvious they could have done more to avoid being in this situation. What they did was expect a player to live up to a signed agreement.
Yep.
And I have no problem with that.
No, hey, I understand it from that perspective. I do, and look, I know Ted always gets worked up when that gets brought up. But the thing that Dwayne took advantage of was that he had leverage.
Right.
He had leverage in that situation because their offensive line situation was a joke. It was awful.
Right. And when I point out that he failed to live up to his contract, the response always seems to be from at least somebody, well, the teams can do the same thing. Not really. They don't violate the terms of any contract. They do what they are empowered to do by the collective bargaining agreement. If players have a problem with that, they need to give Eric Winston a call.
Yes.
And I know he wasn't part of that negotiation, so I'm just naming the current
president. But for the next negotiation,
Your union is the reason you got a crappy deal.
And they finally took a step forward in that now, finally, we're taking a look at the idea of guaranteed contracts for NFL players. But that's only going to be for a Kirk Cousins type, for a quarterback. Yeah. And how often is a quarterback going to hit the open market like this too,
right,
and have this kind of demand for him? Very rarely. Like, I think the people that are acting like this all of a sudden is changing the game when it comes to free agency, I think you're overreacting. This is a rare, rare special circumstance. And while it would be nice to see these guys get guaranteed contracts, you understand why they don't get guaranteed contracts. I mean, just a couple of years before Dwayne Brown held out, this is a guy who was dealing with a quad injury that was a very serious one.
Yes.
And on top of that, he had that. And look, I'm just looking at it from the Texans perspective for a little bit. He also had the tainted meats in Mexico that, of course, Dwayne claimed on the podcast that he was on with Arian Foster.
Right.
They didn't stand behind him for. But I'm looking at this whole situation, and I look back in the past. I wish they'd appeased him. I wish they'd puckered up and said, well, this sucks, but this is a guy who's been here 10 years.
I can't argue with that.
You know?
But, again, it's hard to, again, for me to fault them because they were just doing what, you know, what they're empowered to do by the collective bargaining agreement, looking to enforce the terms of a deal.
Yep.
Yes, they had the upper hand. Well, the union gave them that upper hand in 2011. On the guaranteed money thing that Kirk Cousins accomplished, really enjoyed Albert Breer's post this morning, Monday Morning Quarterback. He points out something I think is absolutely valid. This offseason, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Ben Roethlisberger are all looking at new deals. They are all expected to get new deals from their respective clubs this offseason. If they pick up the mantle, Drew Brees clearly was not interested in
right.
all his money being guaranteed. But if one or all of these quarterbacks insist on a Kirk Cousins deal, maybe the model does change.
Yes.
Moving forward.
But that's something that you're going to have to get the agreement of a lot of guys. And this is the biggest problem for the NFL Players Association going forward. Too many players. Too many players with different perspectives. Too many guys at the bottom that are just scraping by to get every single paycheck
and
they can for 3
windows.
Years. Right, exactly. You're talking about 3 years or something like that. A guy wants to hold out for a whole season in a season that he could make any money, an NFL salary. You're going to have a hard time selling a lot of people on that. It is the Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. I'm Paul Gallant. I saw a tweet last night that has to do with what we are talking about right now and frustration over it. I'll explain what that is next. I'm Paul Gallant. He is Rich Lord, the Triple Threat at Twin Peaks up in Shenandoah. Come on out, watch the NBA, excuse me, the March Madness games with us on Sports Radio 610.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.